Protecting children's health is fundamental to the Environmental Protection Agency's mission. How do we make sure that kids have clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and a healthy environment where they can live, learn, and play? At EPA, it all starts with science. I'm Nathan Gentry of the EPA, and this is Science Matters, a podcast about EPA research and science. Our guest today is Dr. Peter Gravatt, the director of EPA's Office of Children's Health Protection. Dr. Gravatt, thanks for joining us on Science Matters.
It's my pleasure, Nathan.
Can you give us an overview of the work EPA does to protect our children and help give them a safer future?
Sure. EPA's mission is to protect human health and the environment, and our goal is to focus on the protection of children in everything we do that affects human health. That's why protection of children's health is included as a fundamental cross-cutting strategy in EPA's strategic plan. Our children's health agenda includes three key priorities. First, to ensure that we use the best science on children's environmental health as we implement the nation's environmental laws. Second, to make sure that we protect children through the safe use of chemicals, including both industrial chemicals and the use of pesticides. And third, that we coordinate the implementation of effective community-based programs to reduce threats to children's health. I'll give you a couple of examples of EPA's work under these priority areas. First is the mercury and air toxic standards that the agency finalized in the end of last year. These new standards address the largest remaining domestic source of mercury emissions, a well-known neurotoxin in children. The controls that will be put in place on coal-fired and oil-fired power plants by these standards will also avoid 130,000 asthma attacks every year, which disproportionately impact children, especially children in underserved communities. And the value of the air quality improvements for people's health alone totals between $37 billion and $90 billion each year. EPA's work to protect children also involves partnering with other government agencies like Health and Human Services, the Department of Education, Department of Housing and Urban Development, and the Centers for Disease Control, as well as non-governmental organizations to promote programs that improve the environments where children spend the majority of their time, such as at home and at school. And earlier this year, EPA partnered with Health and Human Services and Housing and Urban Development through the President's Task Force on Environmental Health Risks and Safety Risks to Children to release a coordinated federal action plan to reduce racial and ethnic asthma disparities. This federal action plan includes steps to limit pollution that causes asthma attacks, to coordinate interagency partnerships on community-based programs to prevent asthma, and to advance a research agenda to better understand the underlying causes of asthma.
That's an impressive amount of work you're doing to protect our children. All of these efforts are supported by science, correct?
Yes, Nathan. All of these actions rely on the use of the latest science on children's environmental health.
Can you tell us a bit more about how EPA science and research support your efforts to protect children?
EPA simply cannot be fully successful in fulfilling our children's health mission without a strong research program on children's environmental health. Now, we know that there are unique windows of vulnerability for children developing in the womb and early in their lifetimes. We also know that children are exposed to a myriad of chemicals during development, many of which have very little toxicity data available. And we know that children are much more highly exposed to many of these compounds than adults. And yet we often do not yet know the implications of these factors for children's health. And this is why a continued, robust children's health research program is so important. Some examples of science and research that support the protection of children's health include EPA and NIHS jointly sponsor children's health research centers that are designed to foster research collaborations among basic, clinical, and behavioral scientists with participation from local communities. And these centers continue to make important contributions to the scientific understanding of the complex interactions between the environment, genetics, and other factors, and how those interactions affect children's health from preconception through young adulthood.
In your opinion, what area of children's health research has had the biggest impact on EPA protecting children?
Some of the important emerging areas of research from the Children's Health Centers include the role of endocrine-disrupting chemicals in children's health, epigenetics, and implications for pesticide exposures on children. Another important area of research includes having additional toxicity studies of developmental endpoints, and these have helped the agency in developing more health assessments that address potential childhood concerns. Some of the newer IRIS assessments that have included critical effects for developmental outcomes include neurobehavioral effects for PBDEs and cardiac malformations from TCE. And then thirdly, the development of comprehensive children's exposure factors has been critically important to protect children because we are now able to quantify much better how much more they eat and drink than adults, and the unique behaviors like breastfeeding and putting non-food objects in their mouths, and how they make children more vulnerable to environmental factors.
So out of all the research you've talked about and all the research your group does, in your opinion, what area of children's health research has had the biggest impact on EPA protecting children?
It is really difficult to identify just one type of research that's had the biggest impact, and that's because all lines of children's health research support EPA's efforts to protect children. And so I gave you examples of epidemiology research, toxicology and health assessment, and children's exposure factors, and we need data from all of these lines of research to help make sure we're adequately protecting children's environmental health.
Looking back over the past 10 years, what kind of overall progress do you think we've made as a result of EPA's children's environmental health research?
Substantial progress has been made towards advancing children's environmental health over the past 10 years. The unique vulnerabilities of children have increasingly become an essential part of the national discussion on policy, science, and education and public health. In recent years, we've seen the successful implementation of laws and regulations intended to protect children from chemical exposures and other environmental hazards, and emerging research on the complex link between children's health and environmental exposures has played an important role in advancing our children's health protection activities. A good example is the effect of lead on children. 10 years ago, we certainly understood that lead exerted very important impacts on children's IQs. But through additional research, we now understand that even at low levels of exposure, lead can still exert important effects. And this led to the development of a revised national ambient air quality standard that substantially strengthened protections for children from lead exposures in air.
Going forward, what would you say is the greatest challenge we face in the field of children's environmental health?
One of the greatest challenges we face is how to address many of the very stark disparities in children's chronic health outcomes that we see in America today. For example, in the case of asthma, the national prevalence of asthma in children in America today is slightly less than 10%. But in African American children, it's nearly 16%. And there are very high prevalence of asthma in Puerto Rican neighborhoods as well. If we are to see measurable change in the children's environmental health outcomes in America today, we must build on the progress that's been made in pediatric care, medical research, and community involvement. We need to expand the conversation on children's health by getting messages out to parents and healthcare providers about basic steps, simple steps that they can take to help to protect children from environmental exposures. Another major challenge is understanding the vulnerabilities during both the prenatal and postnatal periods of child's development. There's still more we need to know in this area to determine how we can best protect pregnant mothers in order to have good birth outcomes and healthier children during these early yet critical stages of life. A strong children's health research program has laid the foundation for the progress that we've made to date, and I'm confident that our robust children's health research program will lead to continued progress on EPA's work on children's health in the future.
Thank you for talking to us today about such an important message, Dr. Gravatt. This is Nathan Gentry. Thanks for listening, and please join us again to learn more about EPA research on the next episode of Science Matters. To read our Science Matters newsletter on the web, go to www.epa.gov/sciencematters.